Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to church this morning, especially those who may be listening in online. We are mindful of you as we gather together this morning in obedience to God's word to encourage one another while we wait for Christ's return. Helping me in the service this morning is Adele. She's on the keyboard. Rosemary on guitar, and Adele is our musos. And Rosemary will be reading the Bible to us. We welcome Jessica Toms today. Jessica is with us today. She's our missionary speaker this morning as we think of God's work in a part of the world today, which we'll hear a bit more about later on in the service. Well, to start with, let me pray. We've all got many things that might be on our mind at the moment. And God's caused us to gather aside out of the busyness of our lives and day to draw near to Him and hear Him speak to us and to encourage one another. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering us together in obedience to your word. This time with you and your people is special. It's always special, whether here being present or listening in. Take our anxious thoughts and let us know your peace, your presence, and your power. Help us to engage in what we pray and say and worship you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, if you're listening in or visiting us for the very first time today or just dropping in, it's a very special welcome to you today. Well, let's stand and sing our very first song, our first sentence of scripture. It comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and leads us into our first song. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Let's stand and sing.
Holy, holy, holy.
And it's good to have a missionary Sunday where we can think of God's work beyond our local. God uses missionaries like Jessica that's here and her family to bring the good news about Jesus to places in the world that we can't get to. And we can support them. How do you think we can support them? We're going to find that out today in Kids Church, all right? And we're going to find that out today as well too. Well, turn to the person next to you and just say, good morning, welcome to church, and the kids will go off to Sunday school now. The Lord be with you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for kids. We thank you for the Sunday Kids Church leaders who faithfully prepare lessons every week so that our children can hear the good news about Jesus. We give you thanks for our Kids Church leaders and for the faithfulness of these young people coming and hearing about you from your word. Please bless them and encourage them in their time of gathering this morning. Amen. Well, let's continue in our time of worship together. We've come together as the Church of God to fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, to encourage one another, to hold fast to the hope he has given us, and to spur one another on to love and to do good deeds. So let's stand together at the beginning of our time together and affirm what we believe. Please stand with me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life that's everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Rosemary's going to come now and read to us from God's word. And as she does, I'll pray now for the hearing of God's word. Gracious God, your word is alive and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. Today, when we hear your voice, deliver us from hardness of heart. Help us to put away everything that keeps us from persevering in your way, for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Our reading this morning comes from 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, starting at verse 8 through to verse 18. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Before Jessica comes up and I briefly interview her and then hand over to her, we're going to see a video that she's asked us to see before she comes up to speak.
Things have been tough in Pan Asia. Not only COVID, but also the coup in Myanmar. Many people have lost all hope. Some are asking, what is God doing? Has he forgotten his people? Could it be that this is the death from which life grows? The seed which dies in order to produce fruit? The tree cut down to bring new growth? We follow a God who makes all things new.
We have opportunities to serve in new ways. We are working with local churches to fulfill physical needs, like the refugees on the border. Churches have continued to meet online during the lockdown. Some churches have actually grown during COVID, like this Pakistani refugee church in Bangkok. Lockdown may have shuttered Sunday gatherings, but there is always space for one-on-one and small group discipleship.
We are actually doing discipleship. And then actually we are discipling them with the community life. We want to get revived together, like raise next generation. We have ups and downs and struggles, you know, but those are the testimonies we can tell, not only things that God did to us, you know, but struggles as well.
Looking back on the past 2 years, I'd like to say that God was with us in all these situations and times. But rather than the external problem we faced, God paid more attention to our inner response. The member in here with me are so precious. So to lead them, he healed me first and restored my relationship with God and touched me. So what I learned is that just as God wants to know me and build a relationship with me, and also I also have a desire to communicate with the member and build a genuine relationship.
I list them all things that God did, you know. I can't actually count them, you know, because God miraculously healed as well, you know. It was really a miracle. Our members very appreciate that. You know, we've been through all struggles together.
Life together as a family.
That's our goal.
We are providing education. We are connecting communities through sports. We are providing sustainable income while caring for his creation. We are creating safe work and safe spaces for women and children at risk.
I've been working with a non-for-profit working within the red light district in Chiang Mai, Thailand. They need food, they need help with English, they need job training. A lot of them also just need confidence. They have had a lot of trauma.
We're here for people.
I love listening to people's stories, and I think there's such value in people's dignity. The heartbreak and the wounds that folks go through, trauma, pain, loneliness. I would say we all know we're in a time where the world's hurting, so to sit with people's hurt, that's the hardest part.
God is bringing new people to our team in new ways.
I'm one of the first Christians in the whole of ethnic group. They are actually from a minority people group from the big country north of us. They're from Muslim background. They had to leave the big country because of persecution, clamping down of the government. So they were knocking at the doors of many like-minded orgs to join, and so that they can have accountability, pastoral care, friendship, community. And in the end, they found ISV Pan Asia is the best fit. Well, they are part of our country team now. Currently, they are involved in Bible translation, and they're just so excited to be able to sing in their own language.
In the midst of suffering, God is doing new things in our region, opening hearts and eyes and bringing transformation to individuals and communities.
Well, the first obvious thing, Jessica, that I'm thinking of is where's Shine and where are the boys? Where are they at the moment?
Good question.
Yep.
So our kids' school hasn't finished yet. It finishes on the 10th of June. And so they're still in Thailand and they will be coming to join me here in Sydney. They actually leave on the 10th of June. The day that school finishes, they'll be on the plane.
Right, so how old are they now?
12 and 14. That 12? Is a really old photo. When I said the really blue old, one, I know, I didn't mean that one. Blue one.
Well, that reminds me that at the back of the church on the table on the far, as we go out today, Jessica's put a new little reminder prayer card for us to take home with us today and put on our fridge or wherever we keep them. That's great. So when do they come back on the 10th of June?
Yeah.
And where are some of the other churches that you might be going to here?
So in the inner west, we'll also be visiting Petersham Baptist Church and Newtown Mission, Bellevue Hill Anglican, and then up in the mountains, Wentworth Falls Anglican, Katoomba Anglican, and I'll also be, next Sunday, I'll be on the Central Coast at a small community church.
So where are you staying at the moment? Where's home for you? While you're in Sydney, because you only flew in on Friday.
Yeah, I just got here
Thailand.
On Friday.
Yeah.
So because it's just me at the moment, I'm staying with my parents in Manly.
Right.
And then after Shine and the kids come, we'll have to move out from my parents' place because it's very small. And we'll be just a week in Sydney and then we'll be going up to the mountains.
Great. Well, we look forward to hearing what you have to say to us and reminding us of the work that God's doing through you. And also just to give us some prayer points so we can continue to pray for you. Jessica, some of you may remember Jessica. It's always good to know someone new on the block to know the history of the connection of a church with their missionaries. And Jessica, it's been some 25 years, you were saying, that you've had a connection here with this church here. I won't ask who might remember you from 25 years ago, but I think there might be a few hands that might go up from there. Well, thank you for being with us. Thanks for reminding us of the work that God's doing through you in this big world, in somewhere else part of it, beyond Abbotsford. So let me pray. Gracious and loving Father, we thank you for a safe delivery here of Jessica to us here in Sydney, Australia. We do thank you for reminding us of the work that you're doing in Thailand and Myanmar through both Jessica and Shine and the boys. We do pray for Shine and the boys at this time and for Jessica as they're separated. We pray for safety for both of them. And we pray, Heavenly Father, for a safe trip back over on the 10th of June. And we look forward, Father God, to them being encouraged by those who support your work through them. Speak to us now, Lord. Remind us of what you want us to hear. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Jessica.
I thought I probably need to explain a little bit of that video as well for people who don't know about our work. There's a lot of different aspects of our work, but the main one is that we lead a team of about 50 missionaries who work in Thailand and the two countries that are east and west of Thailand, which I try not to say out loud or write in print. So I hope that you will understand where those two countries are as I speak. What you did hear in the video is that life has been pretty tough. It's been tough for us personally. We have personally experienced the loss of loved ones because of COVID. In fact, in my husband's family, about 30 people died last year, including his own father in February. We've lost not only family members, we've lost also colleagues. The students that I had when I was a Bible college teacher in India, friends and family members. And what also weighs on us is the daily knowledge of what's going on in the neighbouring country. My own colleague's house has been bombed and they live in the jungle in whatever shelter they can find, and now it's monsoon season, so I don't know what shelter they can find. Their fields, if they haven't been destroyed, the army has taken over their fields, so they have no access to regular food. One of our close friends that I just saw in the video, who's the church secretary like Janice is here, is from that country, and she just about gave up last year. She really wasn't coping with the burden of knowing what was going on with her friends and family. Close friends of hers were dying in the violence, and her whole family is still there. And she just about gave up. She stopped coming to the church that we go to. She did start going to her own ethnic church because she felt that at least there people understand what she's going through. But it was really, really tough for her. And I think life has been really tough for you here in Sydney as well. I keep up with the newspaper, I read what's going on, and for all the floods that we have in Chiang Mai, the floods in Sydney have been worse. For all the COVID that we have in Chiang Mai, the COVID in Sydney has been worse. The lockdown has been terrible. It has been a really, really tough time. And I couldn't even visit you when we were here last time on home assignment because lockdown. It's been tough. Now, Paul also was a missionary who was struggling with tough times in his life, but he managed to not lose heart, to keep going, to not give up. So the question that I want to ask us this morning, all of us, is how do we just keep going through all of these tough times? We heard that reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You know, it's not just a Bible reference. It is part of a letter that is from a missionary to the church that he planted. When he was going through a tough time, and there was a tough time in their relationship with each other between the missionary and the church. It was a group of people that he loved, a body of believers that he saw was having a tough time, going off the rails, and there was conflict. There were some serious problems. So what was Paul trying to teach this Corinthian church that he loved so much, that he had planted? You might want to keep your Bibles open at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm not going to give you an explanation of every verse, but I will be hanging around in that chapter. You can see we didn't read verses 1 to 7, but I'm going to touch on those as well. I just thought it might be too long to read. You can see in the very first verse of chapter 4, he says, "We do not lose heart." And that's what I want to talk about this morning, is we do not lose heart. That's just one word in the Greek, and it's a word that we obviously have a bit of trouble translating into English, because you'll see in different letters of Paul that this word is translated in different ways. And if you read different English Bibles, you'll see it's translated in a few different ways. But honestly, even though the words might be difficult, I don't think it's difficult to understand the feeling. We don't lose heart. We don't give up. We don't get discouraged. We keep on going. That feeling of discouragement, of weariness, it's translated as don't grow weary in Galatians. Don't grow weary of doing good. That sense we all know really well. The sense of being tired of it all. The sense of being discouraged. The sense of, is it really worth it? I think I might just give up because it's too hard. We all know that feeling very, very well. I particularly like the use of this word in Luke's Gospel in chapter 18. Do you remember that story about the widow who keeps knocking on the judge's door? She's trying to get justice. That's the word. She does not give up. She will just keep knocking and knocking and knocking until she gets justice, until he gives her what she wants. So why don't we give up? How can we keep going despite all of the struggles that we face in life? Well, firstly, you can see in verse 1, we don't give up because this ministry, it's not our idea. It's God's ministry that he has given to us. It's not something that we choose, but something for which we were chosen. You can see in the next few verses that Paul is dealing with the idea that the gospel seems to be veiled. Unbelievers can't see the truth of the power of the gospel and God's love and his goodness. We really experience that in Thailand, which is home to what some people claim is the largest unreached people group in the world. You know, the first missionaries to Thailand back around 100 years ago didn't see a convert for 16 years. How would it have been? I think I would have given up. Would you have given up 16 years doing nothing but preaching the gospel and not a single convert? Honestly, I should say that we ourselves have seen very, very little response to the gospel in Thailand amongst unbelievers, although there have been a few, and I'll tell you about one of them a bit later. Now, it would be very easy to just give up and say, this is too hard, and that's what some of the missionaries do. They either give up and go home, or they give up on the ethnic Thai and they go to the hill tribe people because there is a good response from the hill tribe people. But we don't give up because it's God who's called us to this ministry. It's his desire that we reveal God's glory in the face of Jesus. And it's not about us, our successes or our failures. It's about the glory of God, so we don't give up. We also don't give up because our weaknesses that we feel so painfully are just the opportunity for God to show how strong he is. I'm sure many of you know that wonderful verse that comes many chapters later in 2 Corinthians. That God's power is shown through our weakness. So we see it here as well. This is our weakness is the opportunity for God to demonstrate his power. In the previous chapter, Paul says, chapter 3, he says that our competence itself comes from God. Anything that we can do is because of his power. Oh, wow, that makes it much easier. And I put my glasses on. God has made us ministers of the new covenant. Now, we're just clay vessels. We have a lot of cracks, but that is where God's light shines out, through those cracks. Recently, I was feeling really disappointed because of my language ability when I was talking with my friend Ike, who has recently become a believer. So we were on the side of the frisbee field, and I knew that she wanted to talk to me because she had told me previously that tomorrow when we go and play frisbee, I want to talk to you. And I drove to the field full of trepidation. What is she going to say? Am I going to be able to understand? Am I going to be able to reply? She had told me, I want you to pray for me. And I thought, what if when I'm praying, I haven't understood what she said, and then she knows that I didn't really understand everything that she was saying? I was really kind of scared. And I could understand, like, I don't know, 70% of what she said. I was able to share with her a few Bible verses that God brought to my mind. And then the funny thing is that afterwards, about a week later, another friend of mine, a mutual friend, said, I'm so thankful that you spent that time with Eek. I know that she really, really needed to talk with somebody, but I just wasn't in the place where I could do that. I needed to go and run and play on the frisbee field, but God brought you to listen to her instead. And I'm so thankful. And then the next Sunday she was baptized. So that was just a really exciting moment for me. God doesn't need Jane's language skills or mine, he can work quite confidently through me to reveal himself to the people that he is calling. So despite our own weaknesses, we don't give up. Paul's words in verse 8 are so poignant. We're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. It does describe a little bit how we feel at times. Hard-pressed. The people that you heard speaking in the video, they're the people in our team. And when we listen to them and their struggles and try and help them to be the most effective that they can in their ministries, we sometimes feel hard-pressed. We certainly feel perplexed, especially when we look at what's going on in the country next door. We cannot understand what is going on there and why God doesn't act more quickly. Personally, we don't experience persecution, but there is a lot of persecution in the country on the other side that I haven't mentioned so far. When people become Christians there, they can't get work. They can't rent a house in the village. Their children can't go to school in the village. And for some of them, they're put in jail if they're pastors. We personally have been struck down physically by COVID, mentally and emotionally. When I was thinking about preparing this message, I couldn't get out of my head the song that the NRL used for their promotional stuff a few years ago. I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never going to keep me down. I couldn't get that song out of my head. Do you guys remember that one? I only knew it from the commercial. I think it actually used to be a song on the radio, but I never heard it there. I don't know whether you heard lately in my updates, but I actually started playing rugby last year. Kind of crazy for somebody my age, but I just wanted to meet a new group of people, and the rugby group, I didn't know any of them, and I thought it's a good way of meeting people and getting some exercises. And honestly, I was quite inspired by the rugby sevens during the Olympics. I thought that just looks like the most fun sport, so I thought I'd give it a try. So now I really know what it means to get knocked down and to get up again and to keep playing. You get knocked down, but you get up again. So we have experienced that physically, getting knocked down, but not destroyed, but also really emotionally, especially for Shine over the last 2 years, with many family members dying. Paul talks here about carrying death around in our bodies. We feel like we're carrying that death around quite literally, so that the death of Jesus would be revealed in us. But we don't give up, right? Because we believe. He talks about this in verse 13. We believe in Jesus' death and resurrection. We believe in what has been written. We believe despite the afflictions, despite all the problems. Paul is quoting there in verse 13. He's quoting Psalm 116. I don't know whether you know that psalm. It's quite a kind of memorable one because the New Testament quotes it a lot. But it's all about the suffering and the affliction of the psalmist and how God rescued him. And he will continue to trust. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter how hard life gets. It doesn't matter if you feel the chains of death pulling you down. He says, I will believe. I will trust in the Lord. Now, the truth is, this actually hasn't been as easy for me as you would think it would be as a missionary. I'm the one who's supposed to, be really confident in my faith and all that. teaching Sunday school to children has really challenged my faith. In our church, we don't just teach the easy stuff. We actually go through the whole Bible every 3 years. And I have had to teach children the book of Ecclesiastes, the book of Hosea, the end of 2 Chronicles very recently, where the whole of the country gets destroyed. It's led me to ask a lot of questions. What do I really believe? As I am teaching these small children, I have to think, is this what I really believe? Do I believe all of this stuff? What do I believe about the difficult passages? And why do I believe it? Now, last month, one of our good friends came to visit us at home. Her name is Mina, and she's also a missionary. And she lost her fiancé to COVID. They were just about to get married, and he died. And she was sharing about her questions and her doubts. What a privilege it was for me to be able to talk to her in my middle age, and she's just a young woman in her 20s, that, yeah, I have questions and I have doubts, and it's really, really tough. But what I know is historical fact is that Jesus really lived, that he really taught, he really did miracles, he really died, and he really rose again. And we can't deny these facts from history. Jesus did not give up when it got tough. He didn't give up when life was hard. He kept going. And this historical truth also lies alongside the fact that believing in Jesus actually works. It really works. It changes people's lives. It's changing the life of my friend Eek that I mentioned got baptized a couple of weeks ago. It's changing the lives not only of individuals but of whole communities. You saw a little bit in the video about the coffee company. What has coffee got to do with the gospel? So we have a few partners working in this coffee company, and what they do is they go into remote rural communities in the country to the east of Thailand, communities where they have been growing opium for drug lords, and teach them to, instead of growing opium poppies, to grow coffee. They give them the saplings, they teach them how to care for these little coffee plants, and then they buy those beans from them when they're ready to be harvested. They pay them for the coffee beans, and then they take those coffee beans and they process them, and then they sell coffee in the cafes. And during this whole business, they are able to share not only coffee, but they're also able to share the gospel. And they have seen entire communities transformed from villages of drug addicts and people who are enslaved to drug lords. They're changed to communities that raise money for themselves instead of for the drug lords. And they've seen children able to go to school, and they've seen people come to faith and churches grow. And as they keep going out to those villages and teaching more about how to care for the coffee and bringing in the beans, they're able to minister to those churches and teach the pastors more and more. And it is such an exciting ministry to see lives and communities transformed through this gospel work. And in this way, grace is reaching more and more people, right? And leading to overflowing thanksgiving, you can see in verse 15. And this all for the glory of God. So we don't give up. And the last one that I want to mention, verse 16, we don't give up because we know that this present trouble is light and momentary. Well, honestly, when I look at the trouble in the country next door, it doesn't feel light and momentary. It has been 6 decades of oppression, and I wonder when is it going to change. But at the same time, I see that God is doing something amazing there. I wonder why it's taking so long for him to respond to the people's cries. But at the same time, I see that the plans of evil men are being torn down. And something new is able to happen. Something new is growing where different ethnic communities are able to come together for the first time in many, many decades. God is creating space for his kingdom to grow and also to impact the majority people who have been blinded to the gospel for so long. I have so many more stories to share with you, but I feel sure that the time is finished, even though I can't see a clock. So please come and chat with me after the service. And I'm also going to be visiting the women, and I think Karen's going to tell you more about that later. I'm also, if you want to invite me to a Bible study group or some other small group, you can invite me. I have so many more stories to share. But what I really, really want you to take away this morning from my being with you is that God doesn't want you to give up. And he doesn't want me to give up. He is the one with the power. It's not about me. It's not about us with all of our cracks and weaknesses. Everything we do is for God's glory. He's called us to this, and he will give us what we need to keep going. So that's why we don't ever give up, even though things are hard. So if you're going through a tough time, I just want to encourage you. Don't give up. It doesn't matter how confused we are, how knocked down, how hard pressed. God has given us this life to do something with it. We follow someone who suffered and he was raised up. If we follow him in that path, we will also be raised up. We don't give up because we believe in what we're doing and why we're doing it, and most importantly, in the person that we are doing it for. So join us in this struggle, and I pray that we will not give up.
Please stand with me. And I'll ask the musos to come forward. We're going to sing very shortly, Servants of the Gospel. But we're going to, as we've been doing each week, just read another portion from Psalm 119 after we hear God's word and encouragement to us to remind us to persevere and to press on and to not lose heart, trusting in God and his word. So let's say this together. Your statutes are wonderful. Therefore, I obey them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant, longing for your commands. Turn to me and have mercy on me, as you always do to those who love your name. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. Redeem me from human oppression, that I may obey your precepts. Make your face shine on your servant and teach me your decrees. Streams of tears flow from my eyes, for your law is not obeyed. We give thanks to God for servants of the gospel. So let's sing this together.
Undeserving, Christ died to wash us clean. He poured the fire. Him, bringing us forgiveness that new life might begin. As servants of the gospel, Christ's work we carry on, that through our prayer and witness, by grace we might win some. We call on every nation to turn to Christ the Lord, refuge in His mercy, and marvel at His love. The grave could not contain Him. From death the Son broke free, exalted by His Father to rule eternally. And in His grace He calls us to be His chosen church. As His holy temple, His priests to all the earth. Servants of the gospel, Christ's work we carry on, that through our prayer and witness, by grace we might win some. We call on every nation to turn to Christ the Lord, refuge in His mercy, and marvel at His love. But with His Holy Spirit and guided by His Word, Christ gathers us together, prepares us for good works, and so with grace apportioned, we serve each other's needs, sharing in each blessing and helping in our grief. As servants of the gospel, Christ's work we carry on, that through our prayer and witness, by grace we might win some. We call on every nation to turn to Christ the Lord, refuge in His mercy, and marvel at His love.
Please be seated. Let's come before our great God, the one who calls us to persevere, who loves us dearly, and spend some time in prayer together. But first, we're mindful that we fail Him often, and He wants us to know forgiveness. So if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let's say together these words. Heavenly Father, we praise You for adopting us as Your children and making us heirs of eternal life. In Your mercy, You have washed us from our sins and made us clean in Your sight. Yet we still fail to love You and serve You as we should. Forgive us our sins and renew us by Your grace, that we may continue to grow as members of Christ, in whom alone is our salvation. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ was sacrificed once and for all to bear the sins of many, yours, mine, and all. God therefore forgives those who look to His Son for mercy. Amen. Let's continue in prayer. Join with me in the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray now for all people and for the church throughout the world. Almighty God, your Son, Jesus Christ, has promised that you will hear us when we ask in faith. Receive the prayers we now offer. Firstly, Lord, we give you thanks for your work amongst those who spread the gospel. We thank you for what we've heard today from Jessica. And we thank you, Father God, that you have so called Shine and Jessica and the boys to go to a place that is difficult, where it's hard to see fruit for labour. But they trust in your faithfulness, dear Lord. They trust and enjoy in being faithful to you, to go and to make known your love and mercy, the gospel. We thank you for the connections that they've been able to make. We trust you with the conversations that they've had with people like Eek and Mia. We thank you, Father God, for opportunities to just listen and get alongside people who have lost everything. And even then to draw them closer to you by your Spirit, to trust in Jesus, to trust in your Son, that you are doing a work of love amongst them, even in their difficult times. Gracious and loving Father, we thank you for planting a church in that community. We thank you, Father God, that through the difficult times you strengthen your people, for they trust not in their own abilities, but in your ability to help them through those difficult times. You, Jesus, suffered and persevered to the end for us. That is a great love, far greater love than we could ever have for another. But that love for us motivates us, Father, to share the good news with those around about us. And so, Lord, we pray that you will continue to bless the work that Shine and Jessica and those whom they gather around them to work in these difficult places. Keep them safe. May this time in Sydney, catching up with family and friends, be a refreshing time for them. Help them to trust in your sovereignty for those young, for the people whom they leave behind, and entrust your work to them. Loving Father God, we thank you for brothers and sisters in Christ who share in the support of Jessica and Shine with us in other churches. May they find encouragement from what they hear as we have this morning. We look forward to Jessica speaking further to us in the weeks ahead. So strengthen your people, Father, for their witness and work in the world. Empower all your ministers faithfully to proclaim the gospel and to administer your holy sacraments. Unite in the truth all who confess your name, that we may live together in love and proclaim your glory in all the world. Father, hear our prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, we give you thanks for all peoples of the world, their leaders. We pray especially for our Queen Elizabeth, for Australia, and those who make and administer our laws, and all who have responsibility. And especially we think now, Father God, of a new government being formed in the coming days. Bless the work of your people, of people in charge, given responsibility to use the resources of this land well and to care for the people in their charge and care. And so give them wisdom as they form government. Give wisdom to all those at authority in this land and every land who lead, and guide all peoples in the way of what is right, and grant them peace so that they may share with justice the resources of the earth, work together in trust and seek the common good. Father, hear our prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. We commend to your keeping, Father, ourselves and each other, our families, our neighbours, our friends. Enable us by your Spirit to live in love for you and for one another. Comfort and heal, merciful Lord, all who are in sorrow, need, sickness, or any other trouble. Give them a firm trust in your goodness. Help those whom you call to minister to them, and bring us all into the joy of your salvation. Father, hear our prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we praise you, Lord God, for your faithful servants in every age. And we pray that we, with all who have died in the faith of Christ, who have been an example to us, may be brought to a joyful resurrection and the fulfillment of your eternal kingdom. Hear us, Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray that we may practice the faith that we profess, despite difficulties and times when we may feel like giving up. Let's pray this together. Ever-living God, help us to celebrate joyfully the resurrection of the Lord and to express in our lives the love we celebrate. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Well, as you came in this morning, you would have received a news and notes, and I draw your attention to them. There's a number of things happening in there, and I'm going to invite Karen to come up and tell us about some of the women's events that are coming up. Thanks, Karen. There's a few up there.
Oh, okay, well, you can do the magic. Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to see you. I'd like to invite the ladies to come along to supper on Friday the 3rd of June here at the church from 7 o'clock till 9 p.m., We're going to be enjoying some wonderful sticky date pudding and a few other yummy things, if that can entice you to come and join us on a cold winter's night. And this morning you've heard some of the work that Jessica and her family are doing overseas. And Jessica will be joining us, and she'll be sharing more about her life there and particularly some of the details of her ministry. And we'll have an opportunity to ask questions and just spend time together as church family. And if you would like to come but are a bit put off by night driving, then we already have people who are willing to come and pick you up and make that easier for you. So please let me know if we can help you out in that way. But we would love to have you come along and join us on Friday the 3rd of June. And on the 18th of June, you've already heard me mention about the Equip Conference. We will be live streaming that here at church. And it's a great way for us to get some really good Bible teaching as a group of women together. And these conferences have excellent speakers. This year we'll be looking at the Book of Lamentations. And I'd love you to come along and join me partaking in that conference here at church. So if you'd like to come to either of those events, please sign up at the back of the church or speak to me and let me know if I can help you in any way in doing that. But that'd be great.
Men, don't feel like you're left out as well. On the 4th of June, 8:30 here in the church foyer, we'll be holding a men's breakfast as well. It's a good opportunity for us to gather together and to enjoy each other's fellowship over God's word together. Oh, please, men, could you sign up the back, on that table at the back of the church if you're intending to come along so I can know for numbers for catering purposes. It's an opportunity to bring a friend along to this one or another Christian bloke to come along on that day. Thank you for giving towards the work in this place and beyond in ministry. It's a time for us to think about how we do give and towards God's work. And so I thank you for your prayerful consideration about supporting work here and beyond throughout the world. After church today, if you would like prayer, Barbara and Tony will be up the front here to pray with you. For any reason whatsoever, for encouragement or for just someone to listen to you, they'll be happy to pray with you today at the front of the church. Next Sunday, we come together and we celebrate in our service a time where we remember God's great love for each other in the Holy Communion or the Lord's Supper, and the love we ought to have for one another. So it's please come prepared for that. If you're out of fellowship with someone, take the initiative. God's touching your heart to say sorry to that person and seek forgiveness and come and join. And in that time of remembrance, we'll be encouraged as we partake of the bread and wine together. After church today, there's morning tea, and we're very thankful for those who prepare our morning tea and refreshments each Sunday. Thank you for doing that. Today is a little bit awkward, being a colder day, and as we move into June and into winter months, we do want us to make sure that we keep COVID safe. And so please, as you get your morning tea, if you're brave enough, move out into the playground, through the doors and out and chat with folk. Or into the back into the church here at the back, but keeping that social distancing, making sure that we're safe together. Jessica, thank you for being with us again today. Just a reminder to everyone that Jessica has these little cards at the back of the church to put on your fridge and to remember to pray for them and support them, and she'll just be up the back there if you've got any questions that you'd like to ask. But we look forward to you speaking further in the weeks ahead. Well, our final song, thanks to the musos that have been with us today, is a song that reminds us that we just stand amazed when we think about how much God loves us and how unworthy we are of that love. We ought to stand amazed at how wonderful our God is towards us. And being reminded of mission work, we're reminded of that happening in our lives when we first heard the gospel, is now happening in small ways and big ways in the wider world beyond our own little town here of Abbotsford. So let's stand and sing this together.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Garden, he prayed not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Is my Savior's love for me. In pity, angels beheld him and came from the world of light to comfort him in the sorrows he bore. Is my Savior's love for me. Lord in glory, His face I at last shall see. Twill be my joy through the ages to sing of His love for me.
How wonderful!
How marvelous! How wonderful! And my song shall ever be. How marvelous! How wonderful is my Saviour's love for me.
Gracious God, You made an eternal covenant, an eternal promise with us through the blood of Your Son Jesus shed at the cross, and brought Him back from the dead as the great shepherd of Your sheep. Equip us with everything good for doing Your will. Work in us what is pleasing to You, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, amen.